Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Oh, beautiful morning here in New York City. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, Bart Scott in this morning. WWL and ESPN Radio on the calls there that you just heard, and we're watching that play back again as the Packers avoid having to go to overtime because John Harbaugh and the Ravens go for it again. Two-point conversion to get the win at the end of regulation instead of taking it to OT. So the Pack get the win. They win the division. Aaron Rodgers ties Brett Favre for most touchdowns thrown in franchise history. And right now, as we talked about, who do we trust? Team-wise in the NFC, would the Packers be, would they have the highest percentage of trust right now as far as a team that can get all the way to L.A.?
Yeah, because they have that guy named Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They have Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'd be crazy not to say if it's Tom Brady up against Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game.
We need that again, don't we?
But I can't bet against Brady. That's the only person that.
If the game's at Lambeau.
It was at Lambeau last year.
But I'm saying, again.
It was at Lambeau last year.
With all the injuries, everything else. The game's at
Lambeau. Well, see, that's a different. See, I'm not talking about the injuries.
Where the Bucs were last year at Lambeau is a different place than they are right now.
I'm saying that if they're full arsenal, then I'm not betting against Brady in that situation. But if they don't have everybody at their expense, mm-hmm. then I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, why I say it again is because we don't know Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay.
Yeah.
It'd be hard-pressed to see him walk off the field a loser at Lambeau one more time when there's another down left like we saw last year. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know if I can see that. So when you talk about which quarterback you'd believe in more in a head-to-head situation – this time around, after what happened last year, I almost feel like knowing Rodgers, the pettiness that he's about, the drama that he's about, I can't see him walking off that field a loser.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I don't care what anybody says. I take A-Rod over Patrick Mahomes. You can think I'm crazy all you want to. I played 10 years in the league at wide receiver. I know who I would want throwing me the football, and that would be Aaron Rodgers.
That's a mild take. That's not a hot take.
Yeah, he's been a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes.
But you know,
Mahomes.
You have a lot of people out there that they're so with this new wave, Patrick Mahomes, and that's nothing against Patrick Mahomes, but A-Rod has been doing it at a consistent level for a long time without the arsenal that Brady has.
You can go with the checklist, right?
Yeah.
Arm. You know, I'll take, listen, I know everybody wants to talk about the no-look passes and all that stuff.
I don't care about all that.
Yeah, I mean, and really, like, you know, that's been happening, right? A-Rod, maybe he's been doing that. You talk about mobility. You talk about clutch. You talk about being
extending plays.
Yeah, talking about being able to read defenses. Like, nobody reads defenses better than Aaron Rodgers. He's almost laughing half of the time he's back there. You know what I mean? Because he knows what you're doing, right? Because he can smoke you out. You talk about all the little things, being able to catch 12 men on the field. You know, I need a quarterback that can speed up, you know, slow down the tempo, get everybody lined up. And he does it with less weapons. Now, I know Devontae Adams is just as good, if not better, than Hill. But, you know, you go there, then you got to go advantage from a standpoint to the roster in Kansas City.
So right now he'd be the leading candidate for MVP? I know we do this every week. It seems it changes.
Man, listen, if this guy Jonathan Taylor keep balling, man, I might go with him. If he can get close to 2,000, I mean, because Aaron Rodgers is good, man, but.
See, my thing is that if A-Rod leads them to the number one seed, then I think it's going to be him. Now, with Jonathan Taylor, that's not a bad call, but I ask you this. If Derrick Henry doesn't get hurt, are we even talking about Jonathan Taylor?
We thought that right before he got hurt, we were thinking, is this guy the MVP? Look at him. He's the dominant, most dominant offensive player in the game.
And I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from Jonathan Taylor because I think he's a phenomenal back.
Yeah.
He can do it receiving the football and
his
rushing the football.
Line too.
Offensive line is phenomenal.
But I thought Henry was going to run out of gas and get hurt eventually anyway. I mean, he still led the league in carries.
Yeah.
Like, and he was out for a month.
Yeah.
And he still led the league in carries. They were putting all their eggs in that basket. And eventually, when you're that big, you eventually break down. We see it happen with all the best on, whether you want to talk about Eddie George. Brandon Jacobs was always on a pitch count. But, like, you talk about the over-usage. You know, we've never seen a guy dominate and have this many carries for three straight years. Jonathan Taylor, I think, was sharing, you know, before Mack was getting some carries, Hines was getting carries. And now, like, it's you want to make sure that your running back is strong going into the postseason, because as everybody else breaks down, it looks like he's getting stronger. I mean, listen, that home run hitting Billy, when he broke through the line.
Because he's fast.
He looked at J.C. Jackson. He was striding. And J.C. Jackson's like, all right, I'm going to catch you. He's like, man, all right, man, I'll let you, dog. Watch out. He's like, really, really, we going to do this. You're going to make me go to fifth gear.
He does yoga, man. Beneficial out there.
I mean, I think we have to give some real consideration. And Debo Samuels as well, man. Like what he's doing out there. I think a lot of that's
underrated.
That's West Coast bias going on out there.
Yeah, well, you know what?
But I think right now top three is in no particular order. Tom Brady.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Brady just disqualified himself with that performance. That was horrible, right? Because he has two of everything. And it's about making sure that you have the great moments.
Well, he lost a lot of guys he relies on early in the game.
Listen, everybody in the league has done that. Everybody in the league has lost everybody. Lamar Jackson lost everybody,
but
right?
You can't say he's just out of it because of one game, though.
But listen, when you come down to the final games, it's about what you do on the big stage, because we know the race is close, right? Aaron had a great performance. Right, so he hasn't had any flat performances, or not none that we can think of, and this was on primetime, you know, TV.
Even
right?
Let me say this.
Yeah. Against the same team, Aaron Rodgers stumbled. I understand it was the first game of the year, but against the same.
We don't even remember that.
But I understand that.
That game was in Jacksonville. That is cursed land right now.
But I understand that. But against the same opponent.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers struggled.
All right, and you're right, and it's recency bias, which it usually is. So the Packers are the first team to clinch a playoff spot, which means they have the hottest playoff ticket right now. Hot Ticket, brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about what it means to win the division.
I think in moments like this, it's important to, as much as you win with class, you have to savor these a little bit. You know, these are special. It's just the first step in our goals. But a lot of times a coach speak, and I'm not saying Matt did this, but a lot of times there might be coach speak that takes over and says, hey, you know, this is okay. This is just one goal and we have bigger goals and stuff. But I think it's important to keep that perspective on how special accomplishing this is 3 years in a row. And so just to enjoy it, to savor it, savor these moments. These are special moments.
What message is he sending there, man? Is he playing with us with this? Like, savor these moments. You never know when it's – like, I know he's not saying it, but it sounds to me like he's saying these things.
He's a troll,
like,
man. He's
you don't
a
know
troll.
When we're going to have this again. We should enjoy this while we
attention.
Can.
He's an attention whore. He you likes think? Attention.
You think? Yeah. He's
loves
he's,
the attention.
He is the biggest diva in the NFL.
I think
biggest if, diva in the NFL.
I think if they
and
win.
He's, it makes it more entertaining.
I think if they win, I just think that – it's the right time to walk away if he wins, because he's accomplished everything they need to.
You mean
to.
Win the Super Bowl?
Win
yeah,
it
Super all.
Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest travesty or the biggest, you know, indictment on him is the fact that, you know, for him to be as great as he's supposed to be and where his place in history is, he's only won one Super Bowl, right? So he's right there to me, like him and Drew Brees are still neck and neck when you talk about greatness, right? Mm-hmm. Because you look at Drew Brees, he has all the records and he has one Super Bowl, right? And you to be able to move up to that next tier in the Hall of Fame, because I think it's different rooms in the Hall of Fame. Not all Hall of Famers are created equal. I mean, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's trying to get in the Peyton Manning house, right? You know, and he needs.
He's talking about floors, right?
Yeah, floors.
There's,
yeah.
There's floors in the building.
It's Brady at the top, you know, looking
so Brady's
down.
In
he
the
got
penthouse.
His own bathroom.
Looking
he
down
got,
on everybody.
Yeah, he's looking at his bathroom.
For a long time.
Right? You got to try and get into the Joe Montana house. You know what I mean? You got to be able to try and get into Peyton Manning house, because I think Joe Montana and Peyton Manning are in the same house, simply just because Peyton and what his offense has done and the high level in the football acumen that he had, mm-hmm. right? I always said it was always harder going against Peyton Manning than it was going against Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was all about execution and precision. You know, you when you were going against Peyton Manning, you know, it was like you were physically exhausted with the football acumen. So you were just tired of him. Like, you go in the first quarter, you know, red or blue mean one thing, then the second quarter means something else, and you going back, you think you smart, like, hey man, he said yellow man love, and you go in there like, hold up man, yellow, like, man, look, man, don't tell me nothing. Then you on film looking like a dummy. Like, yo, why you go left? Man, he said it was yellow, and yellow was yellow means, like, so, like, it was.
Did you ever yell to him, though? Like, did you ever say anything to Peyton during a game? for doing that? Because you were a talker.
No, nah, I ain't never said nothing to Peyton.
No?
No, I was too busy thinking. I was like, I felt like I was taking my SAT. You know what I'm
saying? The worst thing that you said to somebody on the field, Bart?
I can't even.
Because me and I think I talked a lot of mess. That's why I never wore a mouthpiece. So me and Bart probably
there's some stories. There's some stories we're going to have to dive into. But coming up next, did the Ravens make the right call for going for two? We'll discuss that next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. John Harbaugh has done this type of stuff all year long.
Just got to try to get the win right there. And in overtime, I think our chances of winning right there were a little bit higher than in overtime. Felt good about it. Felt we had a good play. And again, they made a really good play. I got to give that safety a lot of credit.
Why get married, pimping? Why?
I gotta go right to the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Because it's always somebody. And Harry...
Man, don't be putting my Instagram name up there, man. I don't want nobody at me. Oh, that ain't my Instagram name anyway. That's cool.
All right.
Bro, that's your Twitter name.
Let me just get to this point. Okay. First
it's
of all.
It's called a Twitter handle.
Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, Bart Scott, Dan Orlovsky joining us in studio. How you doing, Dan?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
I'm great. So we were
I like that combination.
I'm
a big sweater guy.
Yeah,
That's a heavy rib, though. I bet he got a lot of back butter in here right now because I know he's sweating.
he called it back butter.
First of all, I never have back butter. You know me better.
Oh, okay. He going to a Christmas party.
Yeah, that's been. I kind of was going with the vibe, but it was so
that's
cold
heavy
this
rib
morning.
Right there.
This is like an 80s
kind of
style.
It is cold out here. Yeah.
You guys are too young to understand what this was like back then.
I like that.
These Gap sweaters. So we were just talking about best quarterbacks, and we were ranking them and talking, and you said Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. And you said, no disrespect to Patrick Mahomes.
Facts.
Oh, apparently somebody on Twitter felt like that was disrespectful.
What did they say?
I see you clowns want to hate on Patrick Mahomes.
Tell him I said shut up. We don't want to hear nothing else about him.
Like, what is this?
You don't even have to finish it, huh?
I'm just funny. The national media is atrocious. Fake news. Make
Wow. Fake news.
You played the game?
This stuff is just hysterical.
I played the game. You played the game, Bart?
Yeah, I played
the game. Why in the hell would we listen to him?
It's just funny to me. Like, I do it because I find it funny. And I like calling out people for being dumb.
Exactly.
That's pretty much why I do it. Dan, do you think right now Aaron Rodgers, right now, is playing the best of any quarterback in the league?
Yeah, and he has been. I mean, really.
Fake news.
I mean, since last year, really. You know, got through for 48 touchdowns last season. And he's only picked up where he left off this season. I would say, like, Aaron makes two or three throws a game that should not be possible. And I don't understand. I was saying this morning to Greeny. I don't understand how Aaron makes those throws. Like, the one that he threw to, I think it was MVS on that crossing seam yesterday.
The deep over.
Yeah, the deep over.
That one blew my mind.
I don't understand how he makes those throws, but also doesn't throw more than four interceptions in a season. You know, I could go a whole season and not throw more than four interceptions, but the ball's not going past 3 yards down the field. You know, like I'm just dinking and dunking. And him making those three or four throws a game that just should be impossible, yet never turning the ball over is the thing that I probably, like, again, marvel at the most. Yesterday I thought his ball handling was ridiculous. But yeah, he's playing that position. It's him and Jonathan Taylor for MVP in the NFL right now.
See? Great minds. That's exactly
what we were just talking about.
Tom Brady disqualified himself yesterday because you not to be able to put a point with all. Listen, he had enough weapons to still be able to win. Yeah.
He did not disqualify
game.
Himself. You can understand. Tom Brady has three of the easiest games left where he could just pass that.
But to me, it's like he lost in a big moment on a national stage.
I understand.
And he
that.
Went 0-for. You can't be the best
but
to
I'm
scoring.
But I'm trying to tell him that earlier in the year, and I understand it was earlier in the year. What you just said about Aaron Rodgers, he actually had that kind of game against the same defense. That's what I'm saying.
Did he put up zero? Did he put up zero?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I understand it was the first game of the year.
Did he put up zero? Did he put up zero?
No.
Zero.
Yeah. No.
Taysom Hill is the guy that kept you from getting a dub. Like, I mean,
aggressive with me, Bart.
I kind of lean towards agreeing with Bart a little bit on this one. I think last night two things could be true. They missed their stars. No AB, no Evans, no Goblin for most of the game mattered. Tom played poorly, and so did Gronk. I would say their two stars that were there played poorly. So I kind of lean towards Gronk. I don't know if it's like a full disqualification, but
he had Godwin for a long time in that game too, right?
Jonathan Taylor's got a huge game this weekend against Arizona that's going to be on national television that if he has another $170, $200, and I think he's going to, that's going to give him another bump. And then Rodgers in Green Bay – having the chance to secure and lock up the one seed in the next couple weeks is also going to give him kind of like, I get the easy games, but the easy games we're going to expect Tom to throw for three.
Exactly. And Aaron's my MVP.
Okay.
He's my MVP, but I do like what Bart said earlier. I understand that he didn't have the weapons, but if you are that great of a quarterback, you still should be able to make it happen.
We've seen
Hall of Fame quarterback. You still had your Hall of Fame tight end there with you. That should be enough.
He didn't play good.
I mean,
seven drops yesterday.
He normally catches.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things. Like when we all go against those opponents, we always have those styles make fights. And, you know, when they go against the Saints, the way that they play defense, we've always played Tom Brady. Understand, listen, if you play off, he's going to kill you, right?
Yep.
They're going to have these quick slants. He's going to kill you death by a thousand paper cuts. You got to get up in those receivers' face. You got to throw off their timing. You got to dare to compete. And you got to get at his feet. Right. And they were at his feet a lot. And he starts seeing ghosts early on in the game. And that's how you got to get to him. You got to get body blows. It doesn't matter if you give up big plays. You get to him, then his clock, his eternal clock, speeds up and he starts rushing just a little bit. And it forces him to be accurate every time. That's how he got baited to a couple of those interceptions late in the game. And, you know, you saw that he started looking. And listen, we talk about all these other quarterbacks. We talked about Mahomes when he struggled, when he had some of his stars out. He had enough stars to beat Taysom Hill to be able to put up more than 9 points. So that's his disqualification. Jonathan Taylor beat, you know, we always talk about Bill Belichick. He takes away what you do best. Right, well, he couldn't take away Jonathan Taylor, right? So that means that he won in spite arguably one of the best defensive-minded coaches in the history, and he made it laughable because they didn't have a chance, and they had all their stars, and they had the game plan. It just didn't work out.
All right, so meanwhile, though, so Rodgers and the Pack get this win, but it comes down to yet another two-point conversion fail for the Ravens in a decision to go for it. So, Dan, what did you think of this decision again to go for it? And also, Harbaugh's reasoning sounded a lot like it was 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. So what do you think of this? And the guys talked about how they didn't like the play call. What do you think of the decision and then the play call?
It's the right decision. I agree with the decision. And I don't mind the play call. Mark Andrews was uncoverable in that game. And you're banking on your best player. You're trying to take a young quarterback. You're sprinting half the field. It's minimizing his options. Yes, but Mark Andrews was literally dominant in that game. They could not stop him. So I don't mind the play call at all. This is why the analytics community, and I don't want to separate the communities, football and analytics, but this is why when you're down 14 and you score, the analytics community says in the fourth quarter, go for two in that moment. Because then, if you get it, an extra point wins the game for you. Or if you miss it, you can still tie the game with the two-point conversion. So that's kind of what the philosophy is on it. True story, Allie, our producer for Get Up, was after the 1 o'clock games, we did a phone call, and she said, we'll focus on Green Bay, Baltimore. I said, I'm not going to watch that game that much. And I was like, this is going to be a blowout. Like, Baltimore has no business being in that game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's why I even more so agree with going for two, because you don't have down. You were down 10 in the fourth quarter. You have no business being in that game. So I think it's the right call. I don't mind the play call at all. It just happened that Green Bay made that play.
I have a big problem with the play call because it gives you less options. Like, first thing for a defense player, first key that lets me know that you're about to do the sprint pass is the fact when you motion that tight end backside and he's off the ball, he's just a guy. I know he's there to make sure that I can't blitz off the backside. I know you're about to sprint out. And then understanding that Hollywood Brown is wide open behind him, that should be option two. But I need, you know, somebody from the backside coming to his vision to give him a second option, because what happens is he's not the most accurate quarterback. And you're asking a guy who's a guy, you know, I know he's played well, to throw into a tiny space where that window is supposed to be to the pylon and low so that Andrews can get it. But also, Andrews is not one of these guys where he's a great route runner. So his release, we knew the fade, he was going to get physicality at the line of scrimmage, right? So then also the double, we know the double team's coming. Right. You just don't know if it's coming from the inside linebacker, or you don't know if it's coming from the safety, and the safety sprinted directly to it.
I don't know all that. So this would be my pushback to you, Bart. Like, to ask a young quarterback who's probably never practiced, every time he's practiced that play, Mark's been the throw, right? So to ask him, Harry, you notice, like, that number two receiver scraping on the backside, to ask him, I just don't think he's comfortable doing it. I'd say the second thing is this. This is an offense in Baltimore that has had no answer for zero blitz this year. So, like, to say, let's drop back. Well, if Green Bay all-out pressures you, they haven't executed well against zero pressure. So I think that – and then, Harry, again, you know this. Sometimes when you play in the drop-back pass game in the red zone, more options is a detriment, because you don't necessarily – is it combo? Are they comboing two and three? Are they comboing the slot receivers? You know, where Mark, it's like, hey, we're going to sprint out. Mark, go win. You know?
So but you put him at one. That lets everybody in the stadium run.
I know.
So confirm, he's at one.
But he wasn't covered yesterday. He was dominant.
Here's the problem I have with it.
All right, real quick.
I have the problem with the non-creativity on Greg Roman's part.
Welcome.
There's a million of things that you could have ran down there in my eyes.
Welcome since 2019.
Exactly. Yeah. Right, well, and again, just to put a bow on it too, if the throw was on target, if it was at the pylon, it might have been a catch.
Right.
Like, the throw was also
the Hundley kid
him.
Played fantastic.
Yeah, no, I mean, really good performance from him. But, Dan, we only have you for a few more minutes, so I do want to ask you, though, about Dak Prescott. And while the Cowboys get the win against a really bad Giants team,
they stink, the Giants.
I mean, the whole franchise,
from
everywhere. It's not even the swamp anymore at MetLife that smells. It's everything there. But when it comes to Dak, however, the defense continues to get turnovers, continues to perform at an extremely high level.
Right.
What Dan Quinn has them doing makes you think, boy, they could be a contender. But what's up with Dak Prescott in this offense, and why does he say they are building?
Yeah, the offense for Dallas is average. The defense is above average. That has the chance to be great, but they're depending on takeaways. Now, they're getting those takeaways. My only issue with the defense is I don't anticipate getting takeaways like that in the playoffs against an Aaron Rodgers or a playoff Tom Brady. So that's why I think they're really good. They're just not going to get those takeaways. Offensively, I think in the couple things. In the run game, they miss a guy named Blake Jarwin, their tight end, who's – when their run game struggles right now, their tight ends are getting beat. They also miss their left tackle, Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. That's our job to be honest about that. But they miss Blake Jarwin in the run game. I think they don't pull people enough. I've been on that for about 4 weeks now. They pulled people on offense five times yesterday. They ran the ball for 37 yards when they did it. I don't know why they're not doing it more. Kellen, their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, is my buddy. I text him all the time, like, dude, you got to keep doing this more. So he just sends me smiley emojis. I think Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's a passive aggressive way of saying thanks. That's nice.
Yeah, I think
the hell with you, Dan. That's like saying K.
Yeah,
hell, you talking about Dan?
Dak Prescott was better in the pocket yesterday. You know, he struggled in the pocket here recently with his feel. He was better yesterday. I just think they're average in their pass game right now. There's no consistency. There's no rhythm. There's no explosiveness. CeeDee drops the ball too much. Dak should have had two interceptions. So I don't think there's anything on this offense.
You sound concerned.
There's nothing that scares. If you are a defensive guy, is there anything in the offense that, like, scares you right now? Like, actually, when you watch Green Bay, you're like, what do we do with 17? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything on that offense that scares defenses right now.
Well, CeeDee, when they were really rolling, you know, them getting the ball, his ball in hands in space, he's one of the best run after the catch you know, guys I've seen in a long time. And he plays a lot bigger than what he physically is. But, you know, I don't fear anything. And I think it starts with that running game not being as dominant as it once was. So, I mean, if I can you know, start with a light box, I can get creative with my coverages behind. Like, I think that, you know, the Cowboys are setting themselves up for failure. Because you talk about this defense, and I feel like you agree with me a little bit. I don't think this defense is special. I think it's okay, and I think it's going to get exposed once it goes against a good outfit, because they have their fool's gold. They feel like they're better than what they really are. And I think that's going to come back to bite him because, I mean, you went against Taysom Hill, you went against Heineke.
Right.
I mean, when they went against, you know, Derek Carr, they got shredded. Right. So I think that's more like what they're going to be
they're
like.
They're just so dependent on the takeaway. They're just so – like, Indy's defense, and when you don't get really
it, then
good.
What happens?
Right, exactly. I think Indy's defense is very good and also gets takeaways. I don't think Dallas is kind of checks both those boxes.
Okay, so what they're doing is a little more high risk, high reward right now. You'll get more from Darren Orlovsky on Get Up at 8 o'clock Eastern. But right now, it's time to say goodbye to him here on this set. Dan, good to see you. Thanks so much.
Later, fellas.
All right, bye, Dan.
Giving us a straight talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So coming up, key observations are becoming HD observations, courtesy of Harry Douglas. And that is after SportsCenter.
Third and 10, and if you've gone for it already on fourth down, they're in four down territory from here on out. Third and 10 from their own 33. Snap to Brady. Saints bring five. Brady rolls to his right. Now he throws. That's going to be picked off by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on the far side. Read it perfectly. Made the interception. And now they'll go to the Buccaneers end zone to celebrate.
And that was the call on WWL on a night. They were looking to clinch their first NFC South title since 2007. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost Pro Bowl receivers Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in the first half Sunday against the Saints. Leonard Fournette, then they lost in the second. And they were shut out for the first time in Tom Brady's tenure as quarterback. The 9-0 defeat to the Saints marked only the third shutout of Brady's NFL career with him as the starter, and first since week 14 of the 2006 season. Meanwhile, in the NFC North, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they clinched their division title in a 31-30 win over the Ravens. In his 14th season as Packers starting quarterback, Rodgers tied Brett Favre's franchise record, 442 touchdown passes. It's the third consecutive division title for the Packers under coach Matt LaFleur. John Daly and his son, John Daly II, they captured the PNC Championship with a final round 57 to defeat Tiger Woods and his son Charlie. By two shots, Team Daly finished at 27 under for the tournament, breaking by one stroke the tournament mark set by Davis Love III and his son 3 years ago. SportsCenter brought to you by DraftKings. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use code KJM to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, the show rolls on. KJM, Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, Bart Scott in with you this morning. Normally, this is key observations. Today, it's HD observations, and it's brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Harry,
number one.
Number one for me when it came to this football weekend, the Detroit Lions. Yes, they won a game. And right now, I just got to say this. I love what Dan Campbell has instilled in this football team. Toughness, realness. You look at his coaching staff, right? You see guys like Anthony Lynn, Deuce Staley, Mark Brunell, Antoine Randall, Aaron Glenn, Kelvin Shepard. All guys who've played in the National Football League and can relate to these players. They're playing hard-nosed. They're playing tough. And if you think the Detroit Lions are just going to be an easy win, you are mistaken. Right now, they have four games already this season where they lost by a total of 9 points. They had another close one against the 49ers that they lost. In the future, I think the Detroit Lions will be a contender for a playoff spot. I didn't say Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I said for a playoff spot because of their coaching staff and the culture that they're implementing there.
Heading
so
in the
I
right
like
direction.
The Detroit Lions.
All right.
Number two.
Number two, the San Francisco 49ers. I think the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC West. Yes, and I'm going to say it with my chest. You like how that rhymes. You can't say the Rams. They already have beat up the Rams one time. They played them this year already. The San Francisco 49ers right now, they are 5-1 in their last six games. They've beaten teams, the Bengals, the Rams, the Vikings, teams that are actually in contention to make the playoffs right now. But what I love about this team, they have the defensive line. They have the front seven. But offensively, they have a guy named Deebo Samuel, mm-hmm. who is a wild card, a star player, a guy who can do it from all over the football field. And not to mention, they have a guy in George Kittle in the last three games, 425 yards, Ooh. Three touchdowns. This defense yesterday held the Falcons in the red zone to 1-for-5. I like the San Francisco 49ers right now. They're surging at the right time, hon.
Number three,
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I understand they lost last night. I understand I did not like the play call that they used for the two-point conversion. But the thing that I love about this team is their culture. John Harbaugh, as long as he's their head coach, they have a chance to win any and every game, right? Even with a decimated, depleted roster. You look at yesterday, Tyler Huntley, balled out. Mark Andrews, I think we need to start putting him in the discussion of these dynamic, great, wonderful tight ends. I don't understand why Green Bay let Mark Andrews get off the way he did last night, but not just Green Bay. Every team that plays the Baltimore Ravens, because you know they're going to him. Lamar Jackson's going to him. Tyler Huntley's going to him. But the culture in Baltimore is why I have them number three right now.
Number four.
The Dallas defense. And I understand, Bart, I understand that this defense isn't bona fide. But what attracts me to this defense is that they do something that's very hard to do in the National Football League. That's take the football away. Mm-hmm. The last three games, total 12 turnovers, four in each one. And if they can keep going at this rate, not saying that they're going to get a lot of these turnovers in the playoffs, because I love what Dan mentioned. You go against the Aaron Rodgers, you go against the Tom Brady, these guys probably aren't going to turn the football over and give you those looks. But if you can get one and give your offense an extra possession, then that's a bright spot. But I like Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis yesterday had an interception. I think he's been playing underrated football. Had four pass deflections. You see what Trayvon Diggs is doing. I like that they have DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Michael Parsons.
Healthy now.
Yes, they're right. All healthy. So I like what this defense is doing. They're creating those turnovers. That's my number four.
Number five.
Tom Brady is sick of the damn New Orleans Saints. If there's one team that has been his kryptonite since he's been in Tampa, it has been the New Orleans Saints defense. Mm-hmm. They can do it with their defensive line. They can do it with their linebackers. They can do it with their secondary. One thing Bart understands is that when you have playmakers at all three levels, you have a chance defensively against the greatest quarterback of all time, which is Tom Brady. But this defense has had his number, and I will say this over and over again. If it wasn't for the offense blemishing things in that playoff game last year, the New Orleans Saints would be 5-0 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are my takeaways from this football games this weekend.
All right, so there you have it. HD observations. Bart, do you see it clearly?
I do. I mean, you look at Tom Brady. He looks baffled. Like, it's almost to the point where he's just smiling, man. You got me again. Right? And they baited him, and it almost looks like he wants to talk to the guys. Like, hey, man, like, good stuff. Like, man, like, they got his number. And, like, I don't know what tails they have on him, but conceptually they understand what Tampa's trying to do, and they're built to stop what they do best. I say it all the time, styles makes fights. And if you look at, you know, what happened, man, this was just a good old-fashioned ass-kicking, right? You talk about the hitting that was going on out there, man. Like, you really want to come across the middle? Oh, okay, you got to pay $200 when you pass and go, right? Because they understand these are hard hits. And I say it all the time, big hits change games just as much as turnovers and things like that.
Let me ask you guys, because I have a defensive player and I have a wide receiver, and the hit on Godwin, for one example, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Where it, you know, you hit low. You take out the knees, you take out the legs. He's now injured. He struggled to he walked off the field but was in a noticeable limp, didn't return to the game. Mm-hmm. He was out, took the receiver out. And I asked this question because Bart, we've talked about this where you've said it. I can't hit high anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll get penalized if I'm trying to make a regular hit and he ducks and I hit him in the head. Now it's penalized. So I have to go for his legs. And Harry, I've heard many wide receivers say this. I believe Odell actually has said it as well. You'd rather be hit high than hit low, which we know why they're protecting you from the high hits, because of brain injuries. But yet, you as a receiver say, hit me there. I'd rather that than lose my legs.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I went through ACL. So I had an ACL, MCL, meniscus, and a bone fracture all in one play, right? Mm. So I know what that recovery is like. So I would rather somebody hit me up high versus hitting me low. There's a lot of times where guys are getting hit low, you can't really even defend yourself because you're in certain positions, right? So you're basically getting caught off guard. And I'd mentioned to you off air, it was a time last night where Gronk ran a slant, and the safety came flying in. I believe it was Marcus Williams, and he dove at his legs, and luckily Gronk kind of felt it a little bit and kind of sidestepped, or we'll be talking about him potentially being injured right now.
I mean, it's like we're at that point of the season, right, where, like, I got to take the shot I got to take because there's no room for error, right? I'm saying
a lot of money getting fined too.
But what I'm saying is, if I lose, our season's over with. So now, if I got to send that message, I'm sending that message. And listen, we always used to have this thing like where we're not trying to injure you, but we damn sure trying to hurt you. And if I know running is your thing, and you want to run around here with no thigh pads and your thigh boards, I'm going to go ahead and get that up out of there. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt. Like, I got to do what I got to do, because you not being on this field is better than you being on this field. It gives me a better chance to win. Mm. So, like, this is about my teammates. This ain't about you making sure that I do what's professional, I do what's right. It's body blows. I'm trying to get you up out of there. Like, your elbow hurt, I'm trying to chop your elbow. Your foot hurt, I'm trying to step on your foot. It's that time of year. Anything within the rules, I'm sending messages. I'm sending messages. And we heard Tom Brady early in this year. What did he say? I feel like we're punishing defensive players for offensive mistakes, right? That's a Tom Brady fault. You don't want your guy to get hit like that? Don't throw him into coverage where you know I got a lurker, I got a robber coming from the other side. So that's a quarterback problem. So the reason that Godwin's hurt or injured is for Tom Brady. He threw him into that coverage, and he had to pay the penalty.
Great insight here, again, from both sides of the football on something that is a big part of this game. It happens, and what the mentality is this time of year. Loved it, guys. Thanks so much. All right, so coming up, we've got two NFL games today. Yes, Monday, doubleheader, but up next, we'll tell you why one of them could mean the difference between a playoff spot or not.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Browns are a mess, and I don't just mean in the usual way that the Browns tend to be a mess.
Case Keenum has also tested positive. Man, this does not look good for the Browns.
Biggest problem is the NFL allowed the Browns to practice, and then they tested after practice.
Welcome back. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Alan Hahn, Harry Douglas, Bart Scott in today. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. And you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. All in America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Okay, with that out of the way, we do have two more games. See, one thing about this week is we had a game Saturday. So we had Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Now we got two games on Monday, two games on Tuesday because the NFL moved a couple of games due to a COVID outbreak amongst some teams, and one of those games is tonight, is this afternoon. I guess you'd say it's this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And that includes the Browns and the Raiders. And Baker Mayfield last night on his Instagram said that he has no symptoms, and he's hoping that he can get another negative test for COVID, which might get him available for the game today, which he wouldn't be available to play on Saturday. Now, they have 23 players and three coaches. That also includes head coach Kevin Stefanski, who are on the COVID list.
Yeah. That's a dumb
problem.
I mean,
that's a lot. It also includes their backup quarterback in case Keenum, which means Nick Mullins would have been the starting quarterback if Baker is still not available to play. With all that said, the game was moved. And Bart, you had a problem with it from the beginning when you heard the game was going to be moved, and now you even more of a problem with it. For what reason?
Because we have protocols in place for that, right? That's a you problem. You know, what about you know, the Rams last week when Jalen Ramsey and Higbee, you know, tested positive? They had to go out there and figure out a way to win. Like 23 people, that's unfortunate, but that's why we have larger practice squad rosters so that you can, you know, make up for it. What about last year? I understand it's different because we didn't have the vaccine, but, you know, what about the Broncos having to play with a wide receiver, right? So now what happens is you get to get whole and healthy, and I have to figure out, you know, and from the Raiders standpoint, what if somebody on their squad tests positive because now the game is later than what it was supposed to be? Now I have to change my schedule and have my team fly on a different date. We were supposed to play on Saturday. I was looking at that as an opportunity to have a long week to recover for my next opponent. I don't care about the game today. What about the next game? What about the team playing on Tuesday now all of a sudden on a short week, right? That's going to affect other people. I shouldn't be inconvenienced because of your issues with your organization. That's a you problem, not a me problem, right? You didn't feel bad when I lost offensive linemen this year or when I couldn't play just because you have 23. That's your fault. So now last night, Sean Payton had to, you know, the Saints had to win without Sean Payton. So now you, not only do you have an opportunity to get all your players back, you have another opportunity to get your head coach back, which is a huge advantage. It's a huge strategic advantage as well, right? So I feel like that's unfair, and I feel like the NFL should have made them play. You shouldn't inconvenience me and change my travel arrangements of how I got to do as a visiting team.
No, again, Harry, the Raiders were actually supposed to board the team bus on Friday, and it was literally, I guess, minutes before they were supposed to board the bus, they made the decision to move the game, so back home you go. Can that mess with a team? How about from the Raider, from the Browns' perspective, moving the game was everything they wanted. They need this game to stay in the playoff hunt, to stay in the division hunt. But from the Raider perspective, how does it mess with them?
Yeah, because a lot of things that people don't know about professional athletes, we like to do things routinely. We have routines. Mm-hmm. And when you have the mindset, okay, we're about to go play this football game on a certain day, so you're doing everything leading up to that point for that start date. Now, the problem that I have with the NFL is that I personally thought, but I knew they weren't going to do this because they didn't want anything to affect their bottom line. I personally thought if they were going to postpone anything – it should have been the entire NFL. It should have just said, you know what? We need to step back this week.
So no games.
And then resume the following week. Because see, you can't, in my eyes, I agree with Bart. You can't just say, okay, we're going to take this team and postpone their game and give them a later date. Because see, like, that's unfair to the Raiders because the Raiders right now, they're 6-7. So they're still trying to fight for a playoff spot, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
They lose this game, they're pretty much
out of it.
It's a disservice to them, right? Yeah. Because it's a disservice to them because and all the other teams that had key players out, that had many, many outbreaks that they had pivotal players out. It's a disservice to them. And the reason why you can't move the game is because it's too hard for the people and the fans that bought tickets that scheduled time in their schedule to say, hey, I'm going to the game this day, and then they may have to go to work, so then now they lose the opportunity to go to a game that they paid their hard-earned money for. And I think you look at Baker Mayfield whined, and the NFL seemed like they, you know, obliged him because he was saying, well, what about the protocols? Well, that's a you problem. It's not a me problem. Listen, that's an advantage, right? The teams that are able to kind of quarantine and go into the protocol and do things the right way, if I'm a team, I'm saying, listen, guys, I want you guys to sacrifice. I don't want nobody going out. I know that you can go out, but I don't want anybody going out. I want you to bite down for a month because we may have an opportunity to win a game that we normally wouldn't be able to win because those guys over there are undisciplined. Those guys are more worried about going out and being on the scene and hanging out with their girls and surrounding themselves with all these people than they are about committing to each other. So all we got to do is commit to each other.
Sacrifice.
And we might look up. Exactly. So, like, you know, Cleveland is getting an opportunity, even if somebody made a bad decision. Listen, nobody knows how the outbreak happened, right? Anybody can get it. But that was their reality. And now they're making it the Raiders' reality because now the Raiders got to play a team that worry about, okay, what if Baker Mayfield? Me personally, I don't care if Baker Mayfield plays, but I do care if Kevin Stefanski is coaching because that gives me a strategic advantage that I should have gained because my guys didn't have the outbreak.
And he brought up a big point when he talked about the Los Angeles Rams, right, going out there without their tight end Higbee and then not playing with Jalen Ramsey. That was big because
the Cardinals.
We know,
right before the game.
Right, exactly. And they still found a way to go out there and win that football game and be productive defensively, right? So I understand where Bart's coming from. Like, I think it is a competitive advantage where you postpone this football game. Like, let's just say, like, the Raiders did have somebody, and you brought this up off
air. They lost somebody already.
But I'm saying, but just say, like, say Derek Carr would have been in that situation, like we mentioned off air. Then now the Raiders are a poop creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And what if that happened even today? How that changes everything, certainly from the Raiders' perspective. But you have that game tonight. That's part of the doubleheader tonight. On Monday night, you also have Bears-Vikings. Meh, as Bart would say. Meh. On that one. Meh. Right? Yeah, obviously. But still. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Alan Hahn. It's Harry Douglas. It's Bart Scott. In for the guys. Coming up, we got Sodagate at the Meadowlands. Wait till you hear how cheap one franchise can be.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.